Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Numbskits podcast. I'm Lisa.
The Numbskits podcast?
Sure.
Fine.
Ship it. I'm Lisa.
Look, I'm Jack.
We're having a...
They can't all be winners.
Yes, they can.
Not for albums.
Oh, we're already there.
We're already
diving in.
We're going to go there. We're covering Madonna's Like a Prayer. And I'm going to pray in 1989 that they maybe spent more time writing
good
songs.
Album.
Oh! Andrew Dice Clay. Oh!
Hot take. This album sucks.
I want to go back to the first album because I was bopping. I was straight bopping to her first album.
Which has what would be the big hit on that? Holiday?
Like a Virgin, I think, is on that one. And Celebrate.
That early? Okay.
Celebrate,
not Holiday.
I could fucking jam out to that forever.
Okay. Can we do that now?
That's it. Just goodbye.
That's a better album.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
You made a huge mistake.
Hey, we go by what people tell us, and sometimes people are wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
but it seems like there was, you know, fisticuffs about this. Like, which album of hers was the one to cover? This was her fourth studio album, released on March 21st, 1989.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up with these songs in our house because I would have been about the right age that these would have started sticking, right? So Express Yourself, Cherish, Like a Prayer.
You grew up with like three of these songs.
Bullshit. Yeah, you're right. Oh, Father, I definitely never heard.
Yeah. Exactly.
I probably saw the video once or twice and be like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then played Barbies and made them kiss.
So we're going to talk about music videos a little bit because that's so much a part of what Madonna is.
Okay. I have a hard time connecting with music from the late 80s because it seems like such a simple, weird time in life. I know that there wasn't politically with the AIDS epidemic as well and everything like that, but it just seemed like they were like, hey, was that actual trash on the ground? I loved it. It was new and exciting music. This is why I have the trouble with this, both in movies and music.
There are those aspects, but other aspects are not that way at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, this one did not prove me wrong. So Like a Prayer. This is on the heels of the divorce from her husband, Sean Penn. Which I forgot they were married.
Yes.
Because I was too young to care.
I also forgot that. Yeah.
Also, Perez Hilton was not alive yet.
Oof. Better times.
Some things were better in the late 80s. Take that, Perez Hilton. I know you're listening to this show. And of course, Prince joined up to make this a real slam dunk for Lisa.
Yeah, exactly.
So she grew up Catholic. That is abundantly clear in this album.
Yeah.
Had a lot of problems with her family.
Mm-hmm.
Also abundantly clear.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking out, getting a little saucy.
Just saucier.
Can I just come out and say it? I don't like Madonna's voice. It's very bad. It's not good.
It is okay.
It's
Madonna
it's like,
is not good. But Madonna is great. Figure that one out. She's not good. Any component part of what she does is not very good. But what I respect and what came to me listening to this album is understanding that, oh my gosh, we're watching, which you have to watch, because if you're just listening to the album, it's mostly trash.
Yeah. Take that, Madonna.
You listen to the album, and then you're like, oh, hold on. This is the 80s. MTV is a factor.
Uh-huh.
Let me watch the videos, and then you kind of get into the whole aspect of it, and you say, this is why Madonna's a star. Is because she literally just set the blueprint for how to be a star now.
Yeah, she did.
Ariana she was gone? A, mm, Ariana.
Nailed it. No.
AG?
Attorney General?
KP?
Who's, yeah. Who's it? Clarissa said they call the Kitty Perry. That's what their daughter called it. Kitty Perry.
That's cute.
It's a cute name.
But all of these pop stars now, like, it's all on the blueprint of what Madonna did.
True.
So, like credit is given where credit is due. Like, absolutely, what we live in now, she was already living in 30 years ago.
She paved the way. She did. She was ahead of her time. So she was a visionary.
That's super interesting to me.
Yeah.
That's super interesting to me as far as that goes.
Do you remember when I mocked her dance moves on Express Yourself?
When was that?
Yesterday at lunch at the table when I mocked her dance moves. She was a full-fledged like dancer forever. Like she was studying it. I watched a VH1 Driven on her or something today. Oh, and she went to like NYU or something.
You're watching VH1 stuff.
Oh, I dig back, bitch.
Ooh, boy.
I dig back. I'm like, hey, what did VH1 say about this artist? Hey. The VH1 for like the behind
as,
the music.
As we do with every historical subject. What does VH1 say on the subject?
World War II. VH1, what's your stance?
What's your stance? What's going on?
For Fleetwood
Mac. Pop-up video.
For Fleetwood pop-up video.
What's the pop-up video on?
The Battle of
on Himmler.
Ginsburg.
Oh, no. This show's going off the rails.
I watched the behind the music for Fleetwood Mac, which was really insightful because I did not know that they were such trash bag people just boning each other to death.
We had a show about this. We talked exactly about them being trash bags.
No, I know, but I'm saying in preparation for the show, I watched
okay,
that.
Okay.
And so I follow suit for any larger artist that was big.
Go straight like to VH1.
They don't
of
have
course.
Behind the music for Kendrick Lamar. They don't have a behind the music for Outkast, I don't think.
Oh,
but for the older bands, if only.
If only.
Pop-up video. Anyway, she was a dancer. She was extremely talented, excessively talented in dancing. Here I was like, your dancing sucks, I say to her Express Yourself video. And she's just weird choreography. But yeah, so she has a background in that, which was very interesting.
And it makes total sense because the more, like... largesse she got. The bigger she got, the more dancing was to be had.
Right.
Like, can you imagine? That's like Schindler's List of the people coming by Schindler and thanking him is the number of dancers that she has employed. That's a crazy number of people. That's a crazy comparison to make.
It's a really...
I'm just saying. Dancing is tough.
Dancing is tough.
And she has employed an insane number of dancers. I watched one of the videos from this album, and it was like, hey, Madonna watcher, let's watch the 2012 Super Bowl Madonna show. And it was like literally 14,000 dancers. Half the time, I cannot pick out Madonna on the stage.
By design.
Yeah, they're voguing.
By 2012, they're like, let's.
Yeah, let's calm it down.
10 years later, what is she doing? I think I saw her like doing a cat cow on a barb the other day.
Oh yeah.
On TikTok.
Fair enough.
And people coming to her defense, and I was like, I think she's drunk doing cat cow on a bar, or maybe I was just watching Coyote Ugly. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so let's get started with the album. Did I watch Coyote Ugly? Bitch, maybe.
Did you just drop Coyote Ugly?
I did. You brought up Schindler's List. I'm bringing up its rival, Coyote Ugly. They duked it out at the box office.
The two films on a spectrum. On one, you have Schindler's List, and the other, you have Coyote Ugly. And that's our show
on a scale
tonight.
Of Schindler's List to Coyote Ugly. Where's this album for you? Wow.
Mostly Coyote Ugly.
Mostly Coyote Ugly. Yeah. So we open with the title of the album, Like a Prayer. Kind of a, like you said, like a bold move to be like, this is the biggest hit. It is number one.
Yeah.
We have nowhere to go but down from here. That's right. That's exactly what happened.
It's going to go down.
It's not entirely what happened, but it's like a roller coaster at a state fair where you're like, oh, the cool stuff's at the beginning, and then it's like, I'm hurting myself going around these corners. I also lost my phone.
I have to dig back because you've named yourself Madonna.
Uh-huh. Which I believe is her mother's name, if I remember.
Fine,
from the...
whatever. But the whole thing is like, what if we talk about religion in a sexy way?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we just play that card. Right. And keep playing that card forever. It's interesting that was the fourth album.
Like, up until then, she was kind of doing, I mean, it seemed like she was doing
like
more.
Like a virgin.
Okay, maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, there was a lot
for the very
of
first
sexy
time.
Stuff.
Okay.
And as a young lad.
Lady.
This is what's interesting to me coming back. I fully appreciate what Madonna means for girls, for a lot of people, right?
Okay.
For heterosexual men of a certain age, it just red lines, because it was like, she's so hot, I can't handle anything else that comes after. Like, that was Madonna for decades.
Yeah.
For
the sex appeal was so strong.
Right.
And she was beautiful and she was talented. And she oozed sexiness.
Right.
Very easily. Interpersonally, I would have hated Madonna.
I think back to a specific and really a specific and really weird anecdote of Justin Timberlake later working with Madonna, and she's like, "You want a vitamin B12 shot?
What the fuck?"
And he's like, "I don't think so." And she's like, and then like,
he's like, I like Jamba Juice.
Yeah, exactly. And but like injects the B12 shot into his butt, like in the studio.
She's a drug peddler.
Well, and like, yeah. So that to me was a very like, I don't know.
You're just going to let Madonna inject stuff into your butt.
Exactly. You don't know what's in that needle.
Probably collagen.
Hopefully.
just one nice round.
Timberlake is like, wow, right cheek is looking great.
Left
He's looking full.
A little sloppy.
Right cheek is full.
Do you think Justin Timberlake has a nice butt?
Probably.
He's probably had a butt lift.
He's had a butt lift.
For sure.
Brazilian butt lift.
So back to Madonna and how scary she is. So come children. Let us draw the analogy between religion and sex. Uh-oh. All throughout this first.
Right.
It's a little much. It's a little too on the nose. But I also didn't hear it until today.
Like, that was her whole thing.
I didn't know like a prayer. I completely forgot about this song. Mm. Completely forgot about it.
Fair.
I didn't think about it for like 20 years. And then we started covering this album. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh.
This is what I say. She's not good, but she's great.
Right. Sorry, Madonna.
Taking this whole shtick and playing it to the hilt and saying, all right, especially in the 80s, you're talking Satanic Panic. Thank you, AC/DC.
Thank you, Corsicana, Texas.
Thank you, Corsicana, Texas. No, thank you, Corsicana, Texas.
Never thank you.
Everything that came in that decade and the sort of moral hysteria and the uptightness that still was ruling America at the time, you just play like a fiddle. Like, just say, oh, show a little booby and say, what's up? I like wear my rosary lasciviously, and everyone just loses their shit. Because no one, and this happened, sorry, tangent. This happened with the Vatican with
I thought you were gonna say this happened at your church. Like someone came
oh,
in.
Oh, Madonna showed up. Oh shit. Shit. Here comes Madonna. Get her out of here. Get her out of here.
Just start hissing.
Start hissing like a cat. No, Da Vinci Code. The Vatican freaked the fuck out about the Da Vinci Code because it was a bunch of nonsensical trash and It was just garbage.
Okay.
A lot of bad theology. But it was also it was an airport novel. And they realized, oh shit, it legitimizes this thing to give it that much attention. Like, let's not freak out about this because it's not worth this. And so the next couple of Dan Brown novels, they stopped paying attention to it. And it helped their cause as far as that goes. And the same thing with Madonna. It was like, that's part of her expertise, is that she knew how to get attention.
She got it.
And did very, very well. And at various points, and that's a super interesting thing to look at her discography and be like, what's going on with Madonna here? How is she trying to stay relevant?
So when I said I would not have liked Madonna interpersonally, it's because she was a, in so few words, like a pick me girl. Like,
oh, for sure.
And now it's also rooted in a place of needing validation and attention because her mother died when she was like 5. Right. And as we know from this album, her father was a real piece of shit. And things just hadn't really gone her way. So I believe her father like remarried shortly after her mom died.
Right.
Well, and then put all the focus on the new family. And so, yeah, she was kind of abandoned. And so you end up clamoring for attention. And right. If you are that beautiful and this talented, you are forced to be reckoned with. And that's tough to deal with. And so that's kind of what she's doing. She's, yeah.
And that whole aspect is what was never to the fore, right? For me, right? For many heterosexual men thinking about Madonna, right?
Right.
You just think about the sex appeal and then just redline because the media machine around her, expert production, the songs are well produced, even if much of this album
sucks.
Does not age well at all. Not at all.
Didn't even age well to 1991.
Boosh.
Who's like, woof, wow, ancient.
That being said, I mean, we Oh Father, which I don't know if got a single exactly. It must have been a single release.
It got a video, so it was a major release. Exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, the video is David Fincher, right?
Like, whom she was dating at the time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was his idea to do the video.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know. Madonna would later marry Guy Ritchie of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatched fame.
I don't know what that is.
A British guy.
Sounds great.
Yeah, well.
You know how I feel about the Brits.
Yeah.
Your accents make me sick, and I'm really sorry about that.
Anyway. We totally derailed on what, the first song?
Yeah, it's like we're 19 minutes in. We got to get moving.
It's a 53-minute album. That's cool.
It's true. Because we don't have much to talk about most of the other tracks.
So most of the other tracks. Exactly.
So her line... Anyway,
Like a Prayer is great.
Okay.
I think it's great. Like,
it was
like,
wild coming back to the video.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what I mean. That's why I tried to say, hey, need to watch the videos because that's so important to why she is as big as she is now.
Because she was so controversial? Is that what you mean?
She was both controversial, but she was also the complete story as far as video. Like, it wasn't just an album. It was watching the videos and watching everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, there are many artists you can just, like, put on the album and be like, oh, man, incredible. But to put on this album on a vinyl...
Just
take that vinyl, chuck it out the window. It's fine. Like,
right?
You just wouldn't. You wouldn't see the point of Madonna without watching the videos.
Right.
So, anyway,
I get that. I did not catch the like metaphors there with the. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there, ma'am. Ma'am. This is a Excuse church.
Me? Yeah, exactly.
And Ma'am.
That's the beauty of it. Is just a rile. That's why I brought up Dan Brown. Is just to rile people up 1,000% and you're gonna stay in the charts, right?
Yeah.
No one from the Catholic League is like, her voice is not very good. Her voice is thin and reedy. And while she's an accomplished dancer, the back half of the album doesn't deliver.
Not at all. It's like when you, it's like a Papa John's pizza. You get it. You're like, I didn't want this.
Exactly.
But you start eating it. You're like, well, this couldn't, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And then 1.5 slices in, you're like, I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah. No, it's hot and awesome for 4 minutes. And then 3 slices in. This is, I'm showing myself as a fat slob compared to you, that I'll get.
You'll get 3. Halfway through the pizza before you realize it was a mistake. I open it up and it's like watching Benjamin Button. That shit gets so old so fast.
David Fincher.
Nice. Nice callback.
Oh,
nice callback.
I love my accidental callbacks. Benjamin Button, wait, was that in reverse though? Was he a reverse ager? Is that what the story is?
Just keep rolling. Okay. Keep rolling. It's fine.
It's fine. Ship it like a prayer. Yeah, her like grabbing the knife and cutting her palms open as if she had received the same
stigmata, right?
Stigmata, yes, yeah. Thank you. So I don't know, like a prayer. Go back and watch the video because I guarantee you haven't watched it in the last 20 years. I'm almost positive you haven't. Go back and watch it. It's wild. The intro to this really wild album, and then we move on to Express Yourself, which was another huge hit. The single most expensive music video ever at that time.
What?
At that time.
Cool.
An empowerment song for women.
I have a lot more fun with Express Yourself because...
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear the fun.
It's just... She's not... the universalizing impulse of pop music here, I think, is well served in terms of... The rest of this album is a very... For the most part, a very personal place. And... I appreciate Express Yourself because it is an empowerment anthem. It is
right.
for 89. That's awesome, right? Yeah. It's just saying, hey, all these sort of possessions, they're not gonna do anything.
Right, they're not gonna serve you.
That's not gonna serve you. Like, be with a man that respects you,
mm-hmm.
right, for who you are, and that's evergreen. So, and it's a very, it's a super 89 beat. I could
it's
bop.
Super 89.
I could bop to Express Yourself for a long time. It's a good time.
The video was wild.
Yep.
The video was wild. I remember watching it. I don't remember watching the bedroom scene.
Oh man.
Thanks VH1. You probably cloaked that out for me.
Yeah. But maybe.
VH1 MTV did not.
Yeah.
MTV definitely did not. I didn't like Express Yourself. Going back to it, I still don't like it.
Really?
I don't. I'm telling you, I don't like most of this album. Like 90% of it.
For sure. I mean.
But Express Yourself, I don't like.
Interesting. Because in the 2012 show, she like goes to Express Yourself and everyone's losing their shit.
Of course they are, because nostalgia.
Yeah, but. Yeah, okay.
Nostalgia. If you really sit and listen to it, you're like, no, this ain't it, buddy. This ain't the one. You didn't. You liked it.
I think it's funny because I feel like there's a blur. There's something to be said for the long curve of an artist's trajectory because it's so close to Vogue.
Yes.
You start to think about Vogue.
Right.
You should.
I don't like Vogue. I don't like her weird pointy duties. Yabos.
Hey, you got those pointy yabos in this music video?
I've been watching Hocus Pocus.
Fair enough.
Yabos. Love song.
Don't remember it.
Here comes fucking Prince.
Oh, that's to make right. Shit oh, weird. Shit. No, I,
When I heard Prince the first time, I was listening to it in the car.
Like, oh, fuck.
It was like, fucking Prince. Gosh, dude. Because at first I was like, okay, I remember these two songs. I can get into this. And then it got weird. And I was like, why is it weird? And then I heard Prince. I was like oh, fucking Prince.
It's unfortunate because it's so.
I hate this song.
Well, it's just, it was stretching further that I feel like she could stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, vocally, her vocal range is actually pretty good. Like, I like her as a singer. She's got a weird, thin voice, but I like her range. I like her expression. I like her ability to, like, go with songs. Okay. Given that, like, look, apples to apples, right? Like, we're talking Britney Spears. We're talking the later pop stars that couldn't sing their way out of a wet paper bag. Like, Madonna is way better of a vocalist compared to some of the pop stars that would come later.
Sure.
So,
I'll give you that.
Points,
sure.
Points for that. But I felt the same way in terms of this is such a thudding change of tempo and mood.
Right.
You're just like, especially lyrically, it begs unfortunate comparisons. Like, this is not a love song. It's like, yeah, it's not.
You're right.
For sure.
You didn't have to say
not it. Even. You might as well say this is not a pop song either. Like, what's going
this
on?
This is not a song. This is an accident.
Because Prince at that time in 89, holy shit, that's like Tim Burton's Batman. That's Bat Dance era Prince. Like,
what did you just say to me? What is Bat Dance? We're going to have to take that offline.
Yeah, that's some offline shit. Anyway, Prince was top of his game in that era.
And she was too in some ways, but it's not a match.
Sometimes it's nuts and gum. Simpsons style.
That's exactly right.
Sometimes it's nuts and gum. And this song probably should have just not gotten included.
But it did. Because so I read that they had begun working together, and she started the recording process with him in Minneapolis, where he was.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, wow, Minneapolis sucks. It's so cold. And so she was like, I'm leaving. And she went to LA, and they finished the song like Postal Service style.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it was like
he
recorded his part, sent it to her. She did her part.
Oh, shit. Of course they did.
So that's what happened there. And
it feels so icy. Absolutely. It does not feel connected.
Be like, you say this is a love song. What this feels like is like two drunk people in the dark trying to be like, are these your pants? Are these my pants?
Long pause. What?
Your elbow.
Yeah, this is especially for Prince.
This was a misstep. It didn't seem like it at the time because you're working with Madonna and Madonna is working with Prince. You're like the king and queen of music at the moment, with the exception of Michael Jackson. But
fucking Oh Father got a single and a video. This shit didn't get a video. So I think everyone knew at the time was like, well, write that one off. But it's Prince, so we can't not put it on the album.
Correct. It's a really terrible song.
Oof-ta.
I hate it. It's bare and it's weird and it's clunky. It's not a fit for this album in the least.
Well, it just doesn't fit Madonna, I feel like, because
if Prince, it's Prince could Prince write. Prince said, I'm doing this with or without you,
no,
bitch.
No, but here's the thing. Prince could write. I mean, Prince wrote so many amazing pop songs for other people. This ain't it, Chief.
This ain't it. Till death do us part. The music part for the intro is great. I really enjoy this. And then the song is actually just a big bum out.
Right.
I was like, oh, this feels good. It's not good. It's not a happy place. It's pretty obviously about the marriage which she had with Sean Penn.
Sure.
How poor everything was going. Sure. He takes a drink. She goes inside. He starts to cream. It's just...
Good night, folks.
He starts to scream. The basses fly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty... Yes. She had a rough life. And for that, I do not judge her. Because, a lot of this is coming out. Stuff with her mother. And stuff with her marriage. Stuff with her father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that, to me, that was why I really appreciated listening to this album. Because, like I said, young guy... just redlining at how sexy she was. Mm-hmm. And so much of the videos were about capitalizing on how sexy and carefree she is. And it's just like, that's it. That's your whole Madonna experience. And there is some music a little bit further back, but that's it. And to look at her as the kind of icon that she is, was then, is now, and also a blueprint for later pop stars, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, whatever. I understand it better because it was saying, I have had a great deal of pain. Mm-hmm. I have had a great deal of terrible personal experience. I have had suicidal thoughts. I have had horrible personal experiences that, especially if you think about 89, I don't know if there was anyone of her stature dealing with that kind of stuff. Like, now we expect that, right? There's a lot of people just spilling their guts out on, you know, on a song and you know, in finding an audience. But 89, at her stature, both playing, hey, I'm sexy and I'm very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen to my album, I'm dealing with a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dealing with broken families. I'm dealing with a bad marriage. I'm dealing with abuse. I'm dealing with all this shit. And you see that. If you look through, go and look at the YouTube comments for the videos from these songs and the early Madonna songs. People are like, I didn't kill myself because of this song, because of this video. And that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something I did not see. Because it was not my experience. It was not anything in my purview when I was hearing these songs and certainly listening or seeing these music videos. That to me kind of completed the circle of saying, okay, she wasn't the greatest singer. She wasn't the greatest lyricist. But she was very raw and very open about where she was. And that's, I think, where this album hits for people. It was like, it was raw, it was open, and it was talking about trauma in a time when a lot of people were not talking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is a saving grace.
I think I read she was turning 30 around this time.
Right around.
So yeah, kind of a rough man. It's a lot to have gone through by the age 30.
Yeah. Because you're getting married. You're getting married to this famous Hollywood actor. He's beating the shit out of you, and you're a famous pop star. Like, we talked about Lemonade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lemonade is this powerful reckoning of what it is to be in that position. But in 1989, Madonna's not in a position to say, I'm powerful. You know, I'm the one calling the shots, right? Even though she is, in some degree, she's a woman. She's still a wife that is getting beaten and has to find an outlet for it. And that's insane. Like to come back to that, like that to me says there's a lot of progress that's built off of what she did on this album. That's not like worth thinking about. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not saying the rest of the album is particularly good, but it can be worthwhile and it can be monumental in its own way.
Yeah, I was trying. I mean, yeah, I hadn't really seen it like that because everyone was like, this was a big artistic endeavor for her. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
But and I think if you take away the artistic view, yeah, but more like an honest thing that people were not doing at the time. You're right about that.
To go straight from like, I married Sean Penn and he's a fucking asshole. Also, here's a song about my dad who was neglectful and abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up? Right? Like,
right.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Even if the music and some of these other aspects don't really line up, and as an album, as a form, right? You're not a kid who's going through some of those things, or a woman who's going through some of those things. You're not going through some of those things and saying, oh, I wish this song were better sung or better produced. who's right. saying, I cannot believe someone is actually putting this down because this is how I feel.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. Like, and that's where it hit for me. It was saying, okay, album as album, album as music, the singing quality and various other aspects, not good. But what she's expressing, what she's getting through, what she's reaching out and touching to a very wide audience is really impressive. And you see that. Just go and look up. And again, you look back and you say, why is everyone so crazy about Madonna? Well, this is why. Yes, there's the dancing. Yes, there's the sex appeal. But it's deeper than that. You don't get that kind of, there's plenty of sexy ladies all over pop music. They didn't earn the same ardent devotion of Madonna.
Okay. Damn. So, look at this is a Madonna stan podcast suddenly.
No, I mean that's where I came to. It was cool.
Sounds like you just came to it on the show because I don't remember you talking about that before the show.
Whoa, we don't have a show if we're gonna talk about it beforehand.
You just caught me off guard. I was loving
you love trashing this album, and now you feel bad about trashing this album.
Yeah, I feel bad
album.
About it. Damn.
It's okay. The rest of the album is
pretty, it's really bad. Promise to try. A quiet piano ballad about missing her mother. Try not to forget her face. Trying to keep the memory alive.
Trying to write a good song that you want to listen to and failing. That's fine.
That's fair. Yep. Promise to try. You really blew my whole thing here, buddy. Cherish. You happy now?
That's a stone cold jam.
It is a stone cold jam.
Oh, man. Good times.
The lyrics are very bad. So
it
bad.
It doesn't matter when the melody is no, that good.
You're right.
So good.
It's very boppy. It's upbeat.
Yeah.
After Promise to Try, it's perfect. It's yeah. very nice. It's right in the yeah. middle of the album. It's a very happy song. The video with the mer people.
There's my tentpole theory, right? Right in the middle of the album, you got to hit with one of your great
big
songs.
Ones.
Yeah, big ones. Hold it up. You're just trying to go through the middle of the album and like, what the fuck is this shit? And you're like, oh shit, it's Cherish. And everyone just starts just
it is such
out.
A good song. And then from this point on, it just gets really bad. Mostly bad, not all the way bad. Apparently, the song was inspired by Romeo and Juliet, not just dropping in the lyrics for fun, but it was inspired for that.
Cute.
It's just a very simple and enjoyable, loving, like happy in love kind of track, which is who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
Especially in '89, everybody wants that.
I don't remember the name, but the director would go on to of the music video would go on to direct the Chris Isaac Wicked Games.
Mm-hmm.
Music video, which you've never been like, well, whatever. Believe me, VH1, late night, you're a seventh or eighth grade boy. That's like the sexiest thing you've ever seen in your fucking life.
Is that the I Don't Want to Fall in Love track? No.
Yeah, exactly. No, well, it's the same milieu. It's Chris Isaac and a sexy lady on a beach, and
I
that's it
that.
In black and white.
Yeah,
right?
I remember that.
And Cherish is awesome. Like we talked about, it's super funny compared to
like a prayer,
where she is wearing no clothes but in a church, and Cherish switch it up,
pantsuit,
just full on
pantsuit,
basically a pantsuit,
in
or
of Mexico.
Button up. It's a bolt up.
It's like button a jumper.
It is a jumper. It's a button up jumper on the beach, and it's awesome. Formally speaking, because I'm old and want to talk about music videos in formal terms, but it's literally like three or four setups. It's Madonna, like
the merpeople.
I'm so wet. Lol. Like I'm singing. I'm being sexy and I'm showing some cleave. Fine. Merpeople.
The little boy
who's now too old to be one of her boyfriends now.
For
fine.
Sure.
And then the, like the hunky dudes that are also possibly mer people are just hunky dudes. Yeah. Like, it's just
hunky mer people. They prefer to be called mer people.
it's there are very few shots.
Yeah, there's nothing interesting happening in this video.
I love it though. Man, it's because
we're fighting now.
No, are you kidding me? Madonna at that age, she's right.
Also,
at the
we didn't talk about how different she looks in every single video. That's like a prayer.
Again, that is so much. That's why she's
the chameleon
the blueprint.
Shit.
That's yeah. She's the blueprint. Now we don't even think about the fact that a pop star looks completely different video to video.
Katy Perry can't finish a show with the same haircut. I'm
exactly.
almost positive.
Not even so. The same shot. Like her, like they're doing CG, so her hair changes within the same shot.
My holographic hair.
Yeah, exactly. I love that song. My holographic hair. No, it's absolutely the blueprint.
Dear Jesse, what the fuck?
What I love is looking up these songs, and every single one of the songs has a cover.
Why?
Like a cover image.
Oh, right.
Not that kind of cover. Looking on genius.com and just being like,
why?
This
why?
Exactly. This is why not is this worth happening? Any kind of appreciation, and yet she has that adoration.
She does. This is a weird.
It sucks.
Also, there's like a
super
like
sucks.
A weird Baroque style entrance to the song. It's like, Madonna, shut the hell up.
It's fine.
But no, it's not fine. Don't give her a pass. Don't. You can't just give her a pass on everything because you turned a new leaf.
No, it's
on the show.
No, dude. I did not think the song was very good.
The song
no.
sucks.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's all about the producers. Daughter.
Blah 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 blah. Okay,
it's like yeah. Who writes a song for another person's kid? I would
it's
never.
Cool.
I don't have time for my own kids to write a song about. What the hell would I
we
be?
We gotta
writing
make time.
Song?
We gotta make time
for someone
I have
else's
like
kid.
Three. I have like three good singles, and the rest of it is treading water. Jesse, treading water. This is song.
This is weird fairy tale-ish track.
It sucks.
It's really terrible.
It super sucks. Any kid would look at Madonna straight in the eye and say, "This sucks."
This is whack.
Hey.
We don't even use whack yet, but I'm telling you this is whack.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, Father. So
again,
she just
David Venture.
Right.
A great music video. Super cool. Song's not very good. I like the intro. It made me think of Fleetwood Mac and Oh Daddy and how that's
don't ever
not...
bring that back up.
No, I'm going to bring it back up because it's never cool to address a father figure that way in a song. It just sounds terrible. Like, at least Oh Father is a little bit more dignified, but...
I don't know.
I understand she has to get it off her chest. Again, not good, but important.
It's this song is intense. It's more intense than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because coming off the heels of Oh Jesse, I was like, I'm not in the mood for any more shit. And then she gave us, or Dear Jesse, and then she gave us Oh Father. I was like, okay, she's had a rough life. She's pulling it out. It's a good song. She sings it pretty well. And it's yeah. And the video is really sad. Like you said, that was the one that people were saying
sure.
saved their lives and whatnot. Yeah. But
I like the production. I like the intro. I like the Baroque style, which is that part. She's shaking her head.
I do
as
not
she
like it.
Yawns.
I do not like it. Sam, I am.
That's fair.
It's so whack. I don't know. Everything at this point so just sounds. Whack. Oh, continue. I don't have anything nice to say from this point on for the rest of the album. So if you have something nice to say,
do it. Well, It speaks to an older time of being like, well, what if we still made music?
No one asked for this.
No, they did, though. Like, there was a time in terms of, like, the craft of it. Like, they knew what they were doing in the studio. Here's Madonna. Here's a big pop star. We're just going to crank this shit out. It's fine. But she still cares about songwriting, and we're going to still care as well. And within the limits of that, We're not writing Beethoven here, but
she tries,
within the limits of what we're doing, we're going to try our best, and I can appreciate it within that purview.
Okay.
Like the sophistication of the production, and there's a little intro and the instrumentation. I like that. I like that. That's all right. It's still not a good song.
No.
I don't want to come back to it, but I appreciate the attempt.
Keep it together.
Don't remember it.
It's kind of an upbeat song about like brothers and sisters. Oh, keep it together for the family.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That one.
No, that was good. Again.
Good. It was a good song, but I was just the whole premise was like, no matter what, your family's your family, and blood is thicker than anything else. It's like, okay, I hear you, but in 2021, right? I didn't deal with that. And I feel like I'd be pretty down to be like, well, I don't have a dad anymore.
Yeah.
If that's how it was treated. Just a heads up. You don't have to keep it together with your family if your family sucks. It's 2021. If people don't want to seek out therapy and they suck, let them go, bitch. Family blood is thicker than other stuff. Yeah, I get it. But also, you can get blood transfusions and that feels good too. So you don't have to stick with your family if they suck. You can find other brothers and sisters.
I mean, again, and the album itself seems to bear that out. Like it's not, especially it's a little weird coming after Oh Father when you're like, all right, this is a big kiss off to your dad sucking real bad. And then be like, but family's the best. It's like, is it though?
Is it? I don't know if she had any actual brothers and sisters, though. Does she?
Just.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Can you imagine just being her brother?
Go ahead and put this track 3 and then put the weird Prince song after Oh Father. So everyone's like, what the fuck?
What the hell just happened here? What the hell? Keep it together. Spanish Eyes.
Fine. Whatever.
I hate this song. I hate it. It was about a friend of hers that died from AIDS and whatnot. But I can't stand the like the clicky clicky click Spanish instrument.
Castanets?
Whatever they're calling it. Yeah,
I believe
sure.
That's
the clicky clicks. That's sure. The I haven't got the exact term. Clicky clicks.
Sure, clicky clicks. Yeah.
Finger clickers.
That's what castanets is in Spanish.
Finger clickers. Madonna with the Take a Bow video as well, the one where she's dating the bullfighter.
Matador,
thank you. She's dating a bullfighter, the Matador. Okay. And she's doing the Spanish. She just seems to have a very strong love affair with the Spanish culture.
Sure.
And so this was the first, apparently, before Take About This came out. And I'm just like, you need to stop. I'm annoyed by it.
Is my understanding, because her father is Tony Ciccone?
Tony.
Anyway, she has Italian heritage. I don't believe she has Spanish heritage.
She just dips into it a lot.
That's the whole Madonna thing, right? Is dip into whatever you want because
you're Madonna.
That's the whole thing. It's just dip into whatever sells.
I don't like this song.
Fair enough.
And then we go to Act of Contrition.
Terrible.
One of the worst endings to an album I personally have ever heard.
I like when it finally settles into the beat at the end.
Okay.
That's all right. Like at the very end, once she stops doing the prayer. In the like, isn't this funny to do like to do a prayer? And then, wait a minute, am I doing a reservation? And like that's the one honest vocal in the entire album.
What do you mean it's not?
It's not the computer! Is this really nasty line. That's the one vocal that I believe.
And it's the final the final thing that's said on this album, and it's the worst. I have never hated a song more than I think I hate this song. Yeah.
But after that point, that's actually a pretty dope beat for 89.
Okay. with the Prince solo in reverse and the choir it's a prayer in reverse. It's kind of cool, but it's not.
It's not. It's like you should have already ended this.
You didn't have to do this.
Also, prior to this track starting.
You could have stopped after Express Yourself, and that would have been a good album.
A great single. Boosh. So what did you really feel about this album? I hated this album.
I really didn't expect to dislike it this much. I was so excited at first to be like, I get to listen to Cherish again. Wrong.
Yeah, no, I feel like it... it's not an album the way that we have listened to albums for this show, right? It is exactly the kind of thing that pop stars are criticized for putting out, which is three or four singles and a lot of garbage.
Right.
Now, again, to me, it's still a valid experience to say, hey, some of the garbage she put out in the meantime was very personally affecting and was a very real place for her emotionally. It can be both, right? It can be both musically and lyrically garbage, but also very personally affecting and raw and emotional. And I appreciate that. And that was not a side of Madonna I was expecting. And it helped me complete that picture for her because, again, blinded by being, you know, a horny adolescent and being like, she's so fucking hot. Ah, and then everything else redlines. It's like, no, here's this other Madonna everyone else was attaching themselves to and staying with. Is this emotionally raw, this emotionally vulnerable and open and terribly written. Like, so that helped, right? It's not a good album, but it really helped me understand why people are so fervent for Madonna. So that's a valuable experience.
Do you have a takeaway word? Mine is no thank you.
That's not one word. You can't do this.
No, if you do no spaces, no thank you.
No thank you. No, thank you. Takeaway is confessional.
All right. That's a good one.
Both the religious connotation, but ultimately it's just what she was going through. And that to me lasts more than the other aspects of the album. A lot of the craft I do not respect. It feels dated. It feels bad.
Right.
But the thing that still holds true 30 some odd years later, or not quite 30 some, but whatever.
Right.
It feels real is the emotional, the personal aspect. And I can see why people, some people have anointed this or her best, which I wouldn't, but
nope.
I'm not going to go
back. If this is her best, yikes.
Yikes. Yeah, exactly. This is like some other very, very big artists. Madonna is for sure a top, like a greatest hits album listen
right.
style.
I'm officially tired of talking of Madonna. So let's close out that. Plus, we're over time at this point.
What do we do next time?
We're doing Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to cover it for a while, and I just happened to be skimming through YouTube Music, and it started playing a track off that, and I was like, that's one of the best tracks I've ever heard.
Awesome.
And then I listened to the whole album the other day. I was like, this is an incredible album. I'm so stoked to go. So we're covering To Pimp a Butterfly. Kendrick Lamar, listen to it. I don't know what year it came out. It doesn't matter. It's outside of time and space. It's going to be good. You're going to like it. Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly is next week. I cannot wait to cover that with you guys. And thank you for tuning in. Bye.